Well, believe it or not, we are still on our topic of what new believers need to know. And, you know, I think we're touching on some things that will, I do believe these things will fill in some gaps for you. Some, maybe you've missed bits and pieces. And some of us are new believers. But I think this is for all of us. And I do hope that when you miss, you'll go back and catch up through either through the CD or through the webpage. And, you know, I don't say that because I think I'm some kind of great teacher. I don't think that. but because this is the body that, you know, there are obviously bodies like this, larger, maybe some even smaller, scattered around the world. And that's where we live out our faith, you know, is among our the people that we can see and be around. And also it's the way, the main way that God deals with us and speaks to us is through the teaching and through the fellowship of our local body. And so I say that because I know how God works. That's why I say to catch up, to stay up with what we're doing and where we are. Because that's just simply how God works. And if you're not in a body that's speaking to you, that the Word is speaking to you, then you need to be in one. You need to find one that's happening. So hopefully God has you here and He has something for you every week. And certainly this is you could peek into my world here a little bit. This is a struggle every week. There's not a week. Some are worse than others. But there's never a time that I'm just like, oh, this is good. Yeah, I feel good. I'm confident about this. Except sometimes at the very last minute, God will give me a peace about it, that this is from Him. But so there's something supernatural about our time here together. It's not about the ability of the teacher. It's about what God does through us and in us as a body. So that's why I'm always on you. If you miss, you know, I'll try to do it sneakily and so I'm not pressure you, but I'll try to make sure everybody gets so you don't miss out. It's not because we think we're something by any means. God takes care of us not thinking that. So if you remember back in the first part of the summer, I think back in June, we were talking about the early church and what the early church was devoted to. And you could take those things that the early church was devoted to, and those, every one of those things are going to be in this series of what new believers need to know. It just makes sense if you think about it. The things that, the basic things that the church was built on, those basic foundational issues need to be the very same things that we as believers build our faith on. And so if you remember, we talked about that they were devoted to, in Acts 2:42 to 2:47, it talks about this. That, you remember we looked at that word, every week we would have the definition in your outline in the back of your bulletin there, that every week we'd have that definition of proskertio, I think that's how you say it, of devoted to. That word means to be, it's a strong word in the Greek, that it means to be earnest, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, to attend assiduously, to adhere closely, to give yourself continually to continue in, and to wait on. That those things mentioned there in Acts 2:42, in fact, the flavor of those first few chapters of Acts are the things that the church was built on, the foundation. And those are the very same things that we need to be paying attention to as individual believers. These things need to be a part of, we need to not have any gaps like this, that are gaps in the most foundational things. And so, the things that they were devoted to were the Word, and we've already talked about the Word in our series here, fellowship, which we have not talked about yet, at least specifically, and communion, or the Lord's Supper. They were devoted to prayer, to worship. They were devoted to abiding in faith. Remember we talked about those? But the other thing they were devoted to was evangelism. And it's not too soon for a brand new believer to learn about evangelism. The church was brand new. They could have just gone into a room and had a big giant year-long Bible study from the apostles, you know, to really get this thing, really understand it before they got out there in the world and did anything. But that's not what they did. They got out and they lived it right away. They were devoted to evangelism. Now, last week, we talked about, and sometimes, I'm not going to read all the verses that we have listed in your bulletin today so we can get through this, but you can flip through and read, you know, just, if I summarize something, if you want to see the verse there, you can flip over to it. But in Genesis 12, I think it was 1 through 3, where God was making His promise to Abraham. And He said, we won't get all into the promise, but He said, I will bless you and make you a blessing. And God was revealing something, and you'll see it all through the scripture, something foundational to His character. And I mentioned this last week, that anytime if I'm reading the Word, if I'm studying something, and I come across something that tells me this is what God is like, then I want to pay attention to that. That should be at my core, to understand what God is like. What is He like? What is God like? And this is one way that we can, this is something we've learned about God here, that He blesses you to be a blessing. And you can just expand that out in just every single area of your life. But there is a very important area, and I think it has to do with evangelism, that He has blessed us with eternal life. He's blessed us with fellowship with the body, with fellowship with Him, and He expects us to share that with others. And the thing that I said last week that we looked at was that so often it's missed is that there's this, especially in the modern church, there's a transition that needs to take place in every believer. And I've watched this over and over. I've seen people grow in the Lord. And the ones that go on in the Lord are the ones that make this transition. And it's that transition from an inward focus to an outward focus. A person becomes a partner, a co-laborer in the gospel, or they become stagnant. And they just sit there. It's a transition that is difficult. It does not come easily. But it's a transition, even those people that are in church, every single opportunity they have, and in every single Bible study. That doesn't mean they've made the transition to go from an inward focus to an outward focus of serving God. And if we would be devoted to evangelism in the right sense, the biblical sense, then it's a transition that must take place. So that's going to be a part of what we're talking about today. And if you look, it was a part of what we talked about last week, that we are blessed to be a blessing. So, what was God's purpose for man in the first place? Why did He put man on earth? What was His original purpose? Remember, we go into this, and you guys that are going to do Firm Foundations, you'll get a good dose of this. You'll have a deep understanding of it. Of what did God place us here for? And just some really quickly, you know, He created us, He made us to reflect His glory. He made us to have communion with Him. To choose to have communion with Him. To choose to obey Him. To choose to know Him. And He made us in His image. And so, all of that was damaged and destroyed by sin. And so Jesus came to restore those things, right? He came to restore the relationship and the fellowship with God. And to make it possible once again for us to be conformed to the image of God in how we live, in our character. So, the Bible tells us clearly that Jesus came to restore that. And along with that, the Bible tells us clearly that we are His now. We are now, if we are believers, we are His representatives for that purpose. Do you see how that takes away that just taking in the blessing and not letting out the blessing? So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:18. 18-21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God, listen to this, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, of course, being a representative of God, being His ambassador, means that we've taken on His purposes. We've talked about this before, that if an ambassador sent by the United States to go and live in another country, we're not sending them to go on vacation. They can enjoy the culture. They can enjoy the people, sure. But you see, their whole purpose for being there, their core, every day when they get out of bed, their core is to represent the United States. They're an ambassador. They're not there on vacation. We are here on assignment as a representative. If we have an ambassador that goes somewhere and he just gets so caught up in the culture and just enjoying everything and living for that culture, then he's going to get, yeah, that's not going to work. We are sent as ambassadors. We have a new purpose, a new core at our being for living and getting up every day. We have a different purpose. We are representatives of God's purposes now. Now, obviously, on being a representative, we must exhibit the qualities of the one that sent us, and we must be living that conformed to His image and communing with Him, that living out the purpose for which we were made. But a core part of being an ambassador, a representative of God's purpose, is sharing our faith. It is evangelism. That should be your core, as a believer, that should be one of your core values, if you want to call it that. A core purpose. Now, obviously, a part of this that the church and us as individuals take on, a part of this is investing in those that are already believers. A part of it is investing in those and being more and more conformed to the image of Christ. Helping each other be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. That's part of being a representative. But the part we're going to talk about today is the part of sharing your faith. Acts 1:8 gives us a reason that the Holy Spirit was given to us. A reason that God came to reside in us. And it says that we have received the Holy Spirit, and we have received power to be His witnesses. You know, we learned all through the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit would come on someone, it was for a task, for a purpose. So, when the Holy Spirit comes on us at salvation, of course He comes on us to live in us, to have communion with us, to enable us to live for Him, and to bear fruit, and all those things. But here's the primary reason also, is that He came for us to be a witness, to be a representative of Him. And of course, there's, you know, as Jesus, before He left and commenced the church, gave the church a jump start, we know some of His final words were to go into all the world and preach this gospel to all nations, make disciples of all nations. But if you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, if you are a part of the church, which you are if you are a believer, then you have this purpose. You have this core assignment as an ambassador. Now, it may not show up all the time. It may not be obvious. But this is to be a core value. And Jesus said, if you have faith, then you will do as I have been doing. He lived for a purpose. He lived for the Father's purpose. He lived to be a blessing, not to be blessed. And as it says, as we just read in 2 Corinthians 5, a messenger of reconciliation. Now, I want you to just take a breath and let that sink in. That you are on assignment, that you are an ambassador to represent the purposes of God at work, at home, in your free time, you are an ambassador. Now, I think if you really let this sink in, if you really believe this and fully embrace it and accept it, I think you'll be all ears for the rest of this message. Because this is encouraging you in the direction that you already want to go in. the direction you already want to, because you believe you are called to be an ambassador, and this is just going to encourage you to go in that direction, then you want to hear it. You know, what is it that made missionaries die to get to inland China? What is it that made those five young men in the late 50s, early 60s die on that beach? Palm Beach in Central America? Where was it? Ecuador. Thank you. What made them willing to do that? And as we shared with the children this morning, today, what's making those believers? You know, they don't have persecution is, in one sense, one of the least of the problems in North Korea. They don't have enough to eat every day. They get up. Their first thought on most of those people's mind is, how am I going to get enough to eat today? I got to set about getting myself and my family enough to just survive today, much less tomorrow, today. That's the environment they live in. And it is oppressed, not just for Christians, for everyone. Now, you put on top of that that you've made a choice to follow Jesus to be His ambassador. And you're talking about difficult and hard. It doesn't get any harder. And to be years languishing in prison, I mean, you can barely survive outside of prison. How are you going to be treated inside prison? And then to finally get out of that, to escape it, and then you turn around and walk back into it. That's astounding. That is astounding. Somewhere along the way, they believed when it said, you are my ambassadors. You represent me and my purpose in this world. They believed it. They latched onto it and were willing to die for it. So, that is really what we're going to look at today. Are we willing to be His ambassadors in the world we live in? We have our own challenges. I will acknowledge it. Right? We have our own challenges here. But certainly no more than them. Let's go to Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Good news is the gospel. And it's what you are entrusted with. You have been entrusted with the gospel. It's come to you. You've heard it. You understood. You took it into your heart. It's been poured into you. Now, what do you do with it? You've been entrusted with it. There is no way you can honestly look at the Bible and think that you keep this to yourself. It is your primary duty to let this be known. Part B there, the message and the messenger. Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians 3:9. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? You have a message. You realize that people are looking for righteousness. They may be looking in all the wrong places, but they are looking for righteousness. There are thousands upon thousands of people in this valley looking for righteousness. Let's not condemn people or put them down for looking. They just may be looking in the wrong place. But they are looking for righteousness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Here is your message. You have a message of true righteousness. Righteousness that cannot be obtained from any other place. Righteousness that cannot be obtained from religion, from being good, from ceremonies, from anything that the church itself can do. You have a message of righteousness that only comes from Christ Himself. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. The problem with this is, if He's going to become your sin, if you're going to become righteousness, if you're going to have His righteousness, is that You have to recognize that you need a substitute. Now, this is good news. Righteousness. Freedom from guilt. You have a message, that load of guilt and sin that people are carrying. And they are carrying that load, whether they recognize it or not. They're carrying a load, a tremendous load of guilt and sin. I don't care how religious they are. They're carrying a load of guilt and sin. You have a message, an answer to get them relief. To get them relief from all that. To be set free. To be truly righteous. The problem is to get there because you have some good news, but this good news can be violently resisted. And it is being violently resisted all over the world. Here's one reason. We see from these verses that our message is not just about adding Jesus to their life. If we preach that message, it's pretty easy to accept it. It doesn't stir up much trouble or controversy. It's easy. Just add Jesus. Just accept Jesus. No mention of sin or a substitute or you deserve death. No mention of coming face to face with your sin and there's nothing, absolutely nothing you can do to make yourself acceptable to God, no matter how many churches you go to or how many ceremonies or how good you think you are. No acceptance by God until you come to the place of saying, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. I deserve to die." Then the help comes and the good news can be received. But people, obviously, do not want to hear that. So we need to be warned that it's a hard message. Now, we'll see before we get through here. I'm not recommending that you walk down the street and start hitting people over the head with your Bibles and saying, "You're a sinner." That won't get you anywhere. Or the message. I don't think it'll be a very good representative either. One thing that we have to realize is that all of us are blind to God until God removes the veil. He must remove the veil. Yet He chooses human messengers. Put the two together. God did it this way. I don't know exactly why. God removes the veil, but He chooses human messengers. But yet, here's one point you could say in favor of that method that we might understand. It gives you just a hint of the place of humility and prayer in sharing your faith. Because you can't talk them into it. You can't force them into it. You can't trick them into it. You can't make it an easy, easy road. You can't go one side or the other. That gives you just a taste of what it takes to see someone come to know God. You see, from our perspective, we celebrate when somebody comes to know God. Think back to the baptism there with when Brenna and Andrea and Kevin there in the creek. God gave us a flavor. You remember how you felt when they came out of the water? I'll never forget it. I don't know why that particular day is just, you know, it just burned into my memory. You know, Kevin comes out of the water, fist raised. And it was just, you know, it was like and spontaneous from everybody standing there, you know, was just like shouts of victory, you know, just spontaneous. It wasn't planned. And it just gave me a flavor of what was going on in heaven, you know. Because the window opened a little bit for us to see the importance of it. You see from heaven, people that didn't even know those people in earth, didn't even know them. If they saw that, how much they're allowed to see, I don't know. But if they saw that, it says that all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. It's because they see the weight of it. It's important to us, but we still see foggy from down here. We cheered. We felt good. But they were doing backflips. They were praising God at the top of their voice, unashamedly. Because from their eternal perspective, they see exactly what it means when one sinner turns to God and they see it's forever. They belong to God now. They're going to spend eternity with Him. And they see that they can be conformed to the image of God. They see it from an eternal perspective, where we just see it from this earthly perspective. So it gives us some idea of the place of humility and prayer in sharing the gospel. There's no place for aggression or salesmanship or personality or methods. It's reliance on God. Will we have to speak? Yes, we'll have to speak. The truth must be heard. But it's with humility and prayer. And next week we'll talk about the prayer part. Humility has to be a part of sharing the gospel. That's God's way. It's His plan. That's the way He set it up that we just talked about. Because He has to remove the veil. We cannot do it. So, I have a story of the simplicity of sharing your faith from a guy named Leroy Ames. I think that's how you say his name. He's written a lot of books about disciple making from a few years back, of course. But before we get to his simple story, let me just give you a few things that are also elements of sharing the gospel. So remember, we're going to go to the simple thing, that thing that has to do with evangelism is for introverts type of thinking. And by the way, there's some more articles back there. I made a few copies if you don't have one of those, evangelism or something for introverts. I think that's the name of it. But a few other things that we need to share the gospel. One is courage. I don't exactly know all the reasons why. Maybe it's just that thing of, even if you're not sharing the whole story, you know what you have some intuitive knowledge that you're where that person, they have to go to the cross. If they're going to be saved, they have to go to the cross. They have to recognize, be identified with the death of Jesus on the cross. It's not a comfortable place to go to. And you know that's where they're going to have to head. We don't like to send people to something that's uncomfortable. Jeremiah, God said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, sounds like Jeremiah may have been making some excuses or thinking, I'm too young or whatever. God said to him, do not say, I am only a child. Do not say, I'm an introvert, I can't talk. Or don't say, I'm just a new believer. Or don't say, I'm too young. Or don't say, I don't have enough knowledge yet. God basically says, quiet. Do not say, I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of their disapproval. Do not be afraid of the stick they carry or the authority they carry, which is, we just talked, is real, very real in some places. But you go to everyone I send you. Do not be afraid. So we must have courage if we would share the gospel. The other thing is, yeah, sharing the gospel is for introverts too. Yet, we must speak. At some point, we must speak. In John 1, 41 and 42, the first thing that Andrew did when he discovered who Jesus was, he didn't wait for an education. He didn't wait to go to a Bible study. He didn't wait and check everything out and understand perfectly. He just simply went and found his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah. We have found him. He said just as much as he knew and understood. We have found the Messiah. Or what God said to Moses in Exodus 1, 11 and 12. Who gave man his mouth? Moses was resisting. He was complaining. I'm not a very good speaker. I can't really explain stuff very well. And God says, who gave man his mouth? Now go. I will help you speak. The truth of the gospel must be heard. Whether preaching, teaching, sharing, or a combination of these, which I would say most likely a combination of these. But the truth must be heard and understood if one would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the next thing, element in sharing your faith, it must be done with a faith in and a reliance on God. In 2 Corinthians 3, 4, Paul says, we are not confident in of ourselves. Basically saying, we're not confident in and of ourselves to minister, to do anything. Our confidence comes from God. And he was confident. He was not confident in himself. but he was confident in where his confidence came from. And in 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul again says, I believe, therefore I speak. I quote that to myself every morning, every time before I get up and speak. I believe, therefore I speak. If I don't believe, I'm not going to speak. Every Sunday, even for this part of speaking to believers, it's okay, if I don't have faith, I'm not going to do it. We won't do it this week. But I believe, therefore I speak. Another element of sharing the gospel is sacrifice. And I have a quote there on your outline that we've had before, but it's Robert McCulkin, who wrote the book, The Great Omission. Clever title. Deafened by the raucous demands of our personal desires so that we cannot hear His call. Deadened by persistently choosing for self-interest, it will ultimately be love for God which will enable us to lay down our lives in obedience to the Father for the redemption of a lost world. That we never hear God's call to share the gospel. We never hear God's daily call to be His representative because we're so distracted and taken up by our own self-interest. And the only thing that will get us out of that, the only thing will get us through that, is to have a true and wholehearted love for God. And that love for God will take us all the way to the point of laying down our lives if need be. Nobody in here that does not have the ability to choose to lay down their, really actually choose to lay down their life for God. Everybody in here has the courage to do that if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And there needs to be a willingness. You know, this is really talking about that thing of turning the corner, you know, that we talked about. That transition of inward focus or outward focus. Am I living for God's purposes or am I living for my own purposes? And so I asked Carlton, you know, I just asked him the question, what caused you to turn the corner in the area of blessing others, of being outward focused rather than inward focused? So what got you to, what is it that caused you to turn that corner, to be able to do that in a consistent way in your life, of having real and sacrificial concern for the body and for the lost? And his answer, of course, was simple. Was that being aligned with God's purposes. Being aligned with God's purposes. Having the desires of God at your core. And here are two verses that he gave me. John 15:12. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. So here's the secret, according to Carlton, of turning that focus from self to outward. That you receive God's love. You accept God's love. And you don't bottle that up. You then love others with the same love that you know that God has loved you. That gives a willingness to sacrifice. Because think, how did Jesus lay down His life for us? To leave the glories of heaven and come live on this earth and die on the cross. That's the way He loved us. So do you think, if we receive that kind of love from God, that we too will be able to love others, because we certainly don't have the ability in and of ourselves, then we can love others with that same love. When we start to love others with the love of God, you'll see your focus change from an inward focus to an outward focus and taking on the purposes of God. Let's go to one more verse that Carlton gave me there. 1 Timothy 1:14. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. To receive faith as a gift from God, love from a gift to God, and pour those out to others. Allow Him to pour those out on others through you. It's God's method. It's how He works. And we must accept that method if we would be obedient in this area of being an ambassador, the representative of sharing the gospel. Something else, as we discuss this, as I discussed this with Carlson, is that he shared that when this happens, is that everything becomes your ministry. Everything. You're an ambassador. So your work becomes your ministry. You represent God. You serve His purposes at work. And then, when you get off of work, when you're done with the job, when you punch out for the day, I'm off work. Now what, God? What's my next assignment? But you think about your thought when you get off work. It's like, my time. I can, you know. But there's a different focus there. Now what? What now, God? What's my next assignment? What else would you have me do? Because there's a joy in obedience. Because you go the other route, and where does it usually end up? Frustration. But you go the route of obedience, where does it end up? Joy. So really what I'm saying is, Carl is really selfish. Just kidding. So I get off work. What now, God? I don't know. That captured something for me. Of that kind of outward focus. Is there someone that I could contact? Is there what would you have me do now, God? I'm about your purposes even now. So let's go to a verse that I think illustrates this. Haggai. You don't know where that is? I never say that quite right, but Haggai. I'm not sure. He's one of those prophets, minor prophets, towards the end of the Old Testament. Okay, it's kind of long, but hang with me here. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. This is about, let me make a point here. There's quite a few folks in here looking for a house, building houses, and doing all those sorts of things. I'm not going after you folks here. I'm making a point here. Not about that. I'm making a point about our focus. Because we should be able to do those things that we need to do, that are within reason, that are in line with scriptural principles, and still be able to maintain our focus outward in what God would have it. Because it's so easy, as Hebrews 12 says, we need to throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. There's so many things take our focus, take our passion, when our passion is only fulfilled when it's directed at God and for His purposes. That's our highest calling. And it's so easy to get off on. Remember I shared about the eBay thing last week, how easy it is to get distracted off of something else, much less something like a house or kids or things that matter. So, here we go with that disclaimer in mind. Verse 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. This is not talking about building a church building. You know that. God's kingdom. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but have harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. Why? What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. Their focus was on other things rather than God's things, rather than God's purposes and God's desires. So the next thing that needs to be an element of our sharing our faith, vision and burden. To have a vision for the lost. To be able to see that the field is white unto the harvest. Jesus said, the fields are white unto the harvest. We have to have spiritual vision to be able to see that. We have to be thinking His thoughts, His desires, to be able to see that the field is ready to be harvested. But we tend to stay in the training grounds of learning how to harvest, studying how the harvest is done, looking and examining how the harvest could be done, maybe estimating what the take will be, rather than being out in the field, gathering the harvest. So we have to have vision, and we have to have a burden. Psalm 106:6 says, He who goes out weeping with seed to sow will return with songs of joy carrying sheaves. Let me just read that to you again. There's a burden to having a desire to see the lost come into a relationship with God. There's a burden to it. There is a certain amount of weeping for it. He who goes out weeping with seed will sow. He who goes out weeping with seed to sow will return with songs of joy carrying sheaves, the harvest. When we truly get identified with Christ and His purposes, there will come an intimacy with Him to where we feel what He feels to some degree. We have a burden for the lost, where we weep for the lost, yet there's a joy in intimacy and knowing Christ like that. And there's also a joy with the harvest. There's weeping and there's joy. But if there's any weeping, it is worth it, both for the harvest and for the intimacy. That intimacy, I've talked about this before, that as close as I am to Lori, as much as we can have the same purpose, as much as I can understand how she feels and how she thinks, I can never actually feel her feeling. I can never actually know her thought. But we are told we can have the mind of Christ. We can know Him more intimately and more thoroughly than we can know any person on this earth. You will never know Him in that fashion until you get identified with His purposes. Till you take on His purposes and His calls, to where you have such a concern for the lost that it's the concern of Christ. You have such a love for the brothers and sisters and a love for the lost that it's His love. And you're identified with Him and you know Him through being in step with Him and having His desires and His passion and even His sorrow. The next element of sharing your faith is partnership. Relationships in the body will never be what they can be without co-laboring. Friendships in the body are not about getting our needs met or focusing on each other. They're just not. If we are focused on the purposes of Christ together, you'll find that you'll have relationships closer and better than you ever had when you were trying to get your needs met or just meet other people's needs. Just having worldly type friendships, but just in the church. There's a friendship that's available to Christians that's not available to the world. That it goes deeper. That it is more satisfying. It is more thorough. Because you share the same purpose. In that same way that I was talking about sharing the purposes and the cause of Christ, my partner, my co-laborers, us, we can share that cause together. And that brings a unity. Go to Philippians. I don't think I wrote this in there, did I? Did I write that in your? I wrote that in your outline. It didn't make it to mine. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come or see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Standing with one spirit, contending as one man for faith in the gospel. This is where our friendships and our relationships in the body should be headed toward. True partnerships and co-laboring. I'll tell you, it gets rid of a lot of difficulty and an inward body focus. Gets rid of a lot of misunderstandings because we're not looking in. We're looking out. We're moving ahead together in unity for the purposes of God together. And all these other things become minor when we're moving towards God's purposes, really co-laboring for eternal purposes. Just what I was talking about before, shouting and singing in heaven, that kind of eternal perspective that let's get rid of these little things and let's move ahead together for God's purposes, true partners and co-laboring. And I'll tell you, you may be the most social and friendly, easy to make friends person ever. But if you've not experienced this kind of consistent, ongoing, co-laboring partnership, friends in the body, then you don't know yet what's available among friends. It's not an inward focus. It's not about getting your needs met. It's not even about meeting somebody else's needs. It's about fulfilling the purposes of God together as one person in unity. With that said, we'll go back to our story. The author of that book, Leroy Imes, author, I think he's a professor, apologetics, can defend the faith, that kind of guy, you know, educated and smart, all the things that I'm not. He can talk, he can explain, he can explore, has scientific knowledge, has a lot of different attributes. He was, had a meeting at Harvard with a few students. And one of those was a new believer. And along with this new believer sitting there, he's having this philosophical, theological discussion about God and the meaning of the universe and these things. And they're sitting there, and this professor, author, the guy that wrote the book, is talking about these things. And here's this guy that's been a believer for 3 weeks. And he's listening to all this, and he's paying attention. And one of the students that's not a Christian looks to him, and the new Christian answers, well, I wrote down what he said. Well, true story. I don't know about all that, but I do know this. A few weeks ago, I invited Jesus into my heart, and he forgave all my sins and gave me a new life. And the student that was engaged in the deep discussion with the professor stopped. And he stopped eating. And he stopped talking. And he looked up in amazement. And he said, he did? And the new Christian answered, yes. And I invited him into my heart. And he came in. And it's wonderful. And the philosophical discussion was forgotten. And the student heard the full testimony. And he heard the gospel. We must be truly changed, but God doesn't ask us to be what we're not. If we're not an apologist, He doesn't ask us to be an apologist. He doesn't ask us to be a professor or an author. He just asks us to share what we know, what we've experienced with God, what God did in our life, to be who we are, to be real. You know, I don't know how many times I could imagine that guy sitting there. And so many of us have said, if I just would know what you know, I could have had an answer. That's not, no, you wouldn't have. So what, you may have had an answer. Maybe you would have, maybe I would have more knowledge on this particular topic than you. But I can't share with them what God did in your life. You're the one, you're talking, you're the one that can do that. I can't do that. God opens specific supernatural appointments for you. For you. They're for you. Nobody else can fill them. If you don't show or you don't speak, then they don't happen because they're designed and orchestrated for you. So what is God asking of me? What is God asking of you? Let's go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And that's the message that God sends you with. Yet what is He asking of you? He's asking of you to love others as He has loved you. That's what He's asking of you. You love others like He has loved you. And doors will open for relationship. Doors will open for sharing. You see, the sacrifice of sharing the gospel is not nearly so easy as memorizing this long, long form and all these verses and having this thing all prescribed out, and you nervously try to catch somebody off guard and you share all this. That may feel like a sacrifice because you had to overcome so much of your natural fear and all that thing, but that's not sacrifice. That's just a little embarrassment or whatever. Uncomfortable. But build a relationship with somebody. Have people over, have different people over for dinner every night. You know, sacrifice of your time and yourself. Love the lost. Love the body. This includes investing in each other and in the body. Live for the purposes of God. Love others as He has loved you, and doors will open for the sharing of the gospel. You don't have to be somebody else other than yourself to share the gospel. You shouldn't try to grab one of these methods and memorize it. Don't do that. Don't beat people up with the gospel. You share what God's done for you and in you. And yeah, you need to study and know the truth of Scripture. You know, you need to know the gospel. But if you listen, it was all in there today. About substitution, all those things. It was in there just in our conversation today. You got it from Firm Foundation. You know it. The main thing is that you love others as Jesus loves you. Doors will open. Be willing to speak. Have courage. Be willing to sacrifice. Lay down your life. And you will share the gospel. You'll fulfill your calling to be an ambassador for Him.